Hey everybody, the show's about to begin, but before we get started, here are some words from our newest sponsors.
Guys, your bathroom called. It's time to give it the cleaning it deserves. Get rid of all the junk that's lying around. Freshen it up with high-quality products from Dollar Shave Club. Members like us, we get everything we need for the morning routine delivered right to your door.
DollarShaveClub.com. They deliver everything you need to look and feel and smell your best. Dollar Shave Club is more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club has shave butter, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, everything you need to look and smell and feel at your best and give you a baby face like me, George. Check me out.
I'm digging it, Goes. The Dollar Shave Club is better than shopping in the store, and it delivers everything to you. You don't have to set foot in the store, wandering the aisles, hunting for razors, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, none of it. Clean up your bathroom and your morning routine.
Join Dollar Shave Club today, and just for $5 with free shipping, you'll get the 6-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, one wipe Charlie's.
Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month.
Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie. MMA Junkie Radio is brought to you by Freshly. Freshly delivers fully cooked, prepared meals straight to your door. No more coming home wondering what's for dinner because Freshly's team of chefs and nutritionists are here to save the day. You get to skip the shopping, chopping, and cleanup. All you got to do is heat them up and boom! Your meal is ready to eat in only 3 minutes.
To try Freshly out, go to freshly.com/MMA to get $20 off your first week. That's 6 meals for just $39 plus free shipping. This offer is only valid for a limited time. So go to freshly.com/MMA for $20 off and free shipping. Consider dinner done.
Steak, peppercorn all day, baby. That's my favorite. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and just with a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy my tickets to see the Vegas Knights. First place, baby. How about that for an expansion team?
SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code JUNKIE today. That's promo code JUNKIE for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is your captain speaking. We are making our descent into Las Vegas McCarran Airport. On behalf of our crew, we'd like to thank you for flying MMA Junkie Airlines. Now please fasten your seatbelts and put your tray tables in your upright position because the descent is going to be a little bit bumpy.
All right, Junkie Nation, it's time to roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. All night long, we rollin'! Yes!
The MMA Junkie Radio revolution is upon us.
Can you dig it?
There's no escape. No escape. Through the vast frontier of cyberspace and through a sea of stars in outer space.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We've solidified our combat communication stranglehold.
We are controlling transmission.
With the use of MMA Junkie Radio and Sirius XM satellite radio technology. MMA Junkie Radio, commence transmission. Live from MMA Junkie Radio HQ in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. Here are your hosts, Gorgeous George and Goz.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook. You are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. That's Goes. That's Dan Tom, the fight analyst. And back east, it's Danny Otto. We got to get into it, man. I'm spitting my food out. What the hell? Can't even enjoy Easter, and you can't even get away from April Fool's joke. I was on my toes all day, but then once the eggs started opening up and the barbecue was flowing and the drinks, I got, you know, I didn't even know what was going on until John Morgan and I having a conversation. He thinks I'm from another planet because I didn't know that Tony was out and Max was in. Mm-hmm. Tony Ferguson is out. He's out of this Saturday's fight. He will not be fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov for the UFC Undisputed Lightweight title. Max Holloway will. The UFC Featherweight Champion stepped in.
This
isn't even a post Easter. Or excuse me, April Fool's Day joke. Nothing. It's for real.
April Fool's needs to have a safe word. A word that can be said that lets you just forget about. Because I'm still thinking, like, even as I'm seeing stuff, all right, hey, Dana took it to a new level, right? He recorded a video. He got us. There's got to be, like, a safe word or something that lets everybody know. If you violate this one word on April Fool's, something bad's got to happen to you. Because it did take me a while, even after hearing that, to really, really, really find out it was the truth.
Yeah. Your reaction?
Shocking, but if you're going to find a replacement, it doesn't get that much better than a guy like Max Holloway. Granted, it all comes down to where he was at, what he was doing. If you guys are listening to our pre-show, the show before the show, we talked to Brian Butler, and he gave us some information as to what was going on, how quickly Max Holloway was able to turn it around and say he was in for this fight. It was fairly quickly. You know how Max Holloway do it. So we were talking about odds earlier, okay? And this is the point that I wanted to make was right now Khabib is like a 5-1 odd, 5-1 odds. And I think that's super high. And the only reason, and I get that we, you know, Max is coming off an injury. We don't know what he was doing, how his weight is, all that stuff. But even if he did have 100% camp going into this fight, wouldn't we all just kind of expect him to do the same game plan from the get-go? Which I think no matter what, he's probably got at least a solid round in him, right? To do what it is he would have done anyway.
Yeah.
So I think if you're looking at this odds-wise, I don't think you're looking at, I think Max Holloway is going to dispatch him in the fifth round. You're probably thinking, I think he's going to catch him early and get out of there early, which you should still be able to do even if you had like an 85% Max Holloway. That's why I think the odds are just a little off.
Was this the best decision that they should have made?
Okay. Crazy enough, the guy who made a really interesting point on the way to the show, Danny Otto, he was saying, what if your featherweight champion gets smashed, hurt bad? What does that do to the other division? I could look at it that way. Like, this is a very dangerous fight. You heard the way Michael Johnson talked about how it was to have Khabib Nurmagomedov on top of him. You can get seriously hurt. And yeah, it could take away a lot from your featherweight champ. But I think a fight like this that you've tried to sell over and over and over again, we all remember how we felt the last time this fight fell through. I think you really do have to come big, and this is about as big as you can. So I think it was the right choice.
I think in terms of star power, it was the right choice. And there's a roll of the dice from the UFC. They're at the craps table, and they're blowing on those dice. And they want to get their, you know, their point number. At that point, they don't want to hit 7 or 11. They want to hit the point that they've started. And after all this is wearing off, because look, I look at the news and go, fuck yeah, who isn't in? You know, this really is a chance for Max Holloway to become a massive star. And a lot of us feel like, who better than him? Because he really seems like a great guy for the sport who's earned it. But I am starting to think of reasons why I don't know if it was the best decision. That doesn't mean that it won't be the best decision at the gate. At the gate, it looks like this is going to be a great decision. Hopefully they sell a ton of pay-per-views. Hopefully they're going to do it anyway. And who knows, maybe a legend is born. Either Khabib wins and Max tried, he's still featherweight champ, or Max will become a dual weight world champion, which is, simultaneous champion, which is what Conor McGregor did. And if he stays healthy, he will be. He's not going to boxing or anything like that. He'll be the guy that actually defends. I mean, think about how massive that could be. And so the UFC is just hoping they could hit it. The only problem is it's not a 6 or an 8. And if I'm losing people on craps talk, I'm sorry. it's kind of like it's a four, you know. There's only the three and the one and the two and the two that you can get there. Whereas with the six and the eight, the six is the three and the three, the four and the two, the five and the one. There's just more options, you know what I mean? And so what I'm getting at, guys, is there was a plethora of lightweights that could have possibly stepped in and fought for the undisputed title. And I don't think any of us would have had a problem with it because Ferguson's out. Mm-hmm. Ferguson's out. Connor's not coming back or anytime soon, and to the point that they're stripping him. So I get that Kevin Lee just had his shot, so it couldn't have been him. It couldn't have been Barbosa, who just lost to Khabib. It would have to be someone coming off a win. That eliminates Gaethje as well. I think there's not enough for a Felder and a Iaquinta
but
in
their
resumes.
But you're in desperate times.
You are. So
and
I think
you have someone that's
you have
ready.
Him on ice. Chiesa is coming off a loss. Pettis is coming off a loss. You know, I'm talking about all these awesome matchups, man, that are out there. Now you start to stretch it a little bit because Dunham is on a win streak. He's just not that flashy name. But we circle around to a guy named Dustin Poirier, who will be on today's show, who is coming off a win, a big win. And he hasn't lost in a while. And he's in shape for a five-round fight. Mm-hmm. And he's a popular name. I think that might have worked out. The only other name out there is Eddie Alvarez, who did beat Gaethje, but he's not in shape. He doesn't hit some of the other check marks. He's not training for a five-round fight. Is he even training at all? You know what I mean? So you could throw him in there. He's a popular name. It sells. And just keep your Gaethje Poirier. Because if you remove Poirier, well, now who headlines on Fox 29, you know? You see what I'm saying? It starts a trickle effect. Whereas if you plug in Alvarez and everything else stays intact, you know, that would have been an option. Poirier would have been an option. It all depending on what was more important to the UFC. Apparently, none of that was important to the UFC as much as keeping the star power going, and that's the current champ, Max Holloway, moving up, who he has wanted to move up in the past, and I guess they figured, hey, the chance for him to go to history, let's see if we can hit that four.
He was option A, right? We asked that question in the pre-show.
Yeah,
he was option A.
Brian Butler said, yeah.
I see your point you're trying to make there, George, but I'll come back with this, where if the stars align and if the stepping in fighter wants to do it, then yeah, I'm 100% with you in that scenario. But here's why I think that's a bad idea, even trying to go that path.
Which one, the Alvarez or Poirier?
Lightweight and trying to make it back, because we have, and even with lightweight, and as you know, I champion lightweight, you're right, it's a stacked, so many contenders you could justify. But even with as rich of a divisional lightweight, with a card rich of lightweight fights already on it, I will say this. The reason why is because as much as it hurts that we're having this fight fall apart at the top, this fight four times for a championship, give more meaning to the division, all these reasons, as much as that sucks, we will make that wound worse if we go ahead and take another potential career path, because, again, we don't know what McGregor's doing, if he comes back for how long. Now, Tony is rightfully stripped, because when you think about it, from his last defense September to now he's going to be needing a knee surgery, he's out of the picture, like you said. Now we're taking, if we are lucky enough to have another good contender, we're taking his chances and kind of taking it away from him. And not only just taking it away from him, which, again, Max Holloway is at that same negative, if we're doing the math here, but it speaks to the division. Whereas if it's Max Holloway, it's just a negative on him, which he's accepting, obviously, on his own accord, but it doesn't detriment the division around him. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't hurt Max's title, doesn't hurt featherweight, and it doesn't hurt lightweight as much as taking the next guy, and now you're kind of, ruining his chances, you know. And again, that's some fighters might be wanting to do that. And if that's the case, yeah, let's do it. Let's get Gaethje or Poirier in
there. I think Poirier would be in. You don't think so? What do you think he'll tell us in about an hour?
I was going
to
say yes.
I'll be interesting to say that. And I'm sure I'm sure he would want to say yes. But I guess out of defense for if we're asking why, if this was the right move for the UFC. And in this kind of situation, like, you know, Goz was saying, where you're already kind of deep, you have to remember, you're already deep in the scramble. In this kind of situation, this is the best. It's a weight class up or down. It's a neighboring weight class, so it's still within the common sense round. We're not taking, like, you know, some CM Punk guy or some random, like, you know, some random dude and putting it up there. It's a top matchup. Again, like you heard Brian Butler say, there's history. Khabib and Tony have been on the radar because Max was one of the guys close to stepping in for one of their initial fallouts before. So there's already kind of a history there. Like you said as well, just a couple minutes ago, Max has talked about lightweight. So there's connecting pieces, but there's not the detrimental ones where it's going to make or break Holloway. It's going to make or break the division even further. So in that case, I like it. But here's my opinion on this, guys. Here's what I'm worried about. And this is what I like that Brian Butler said, is that because a sign of a good manager, what did he look out for first? He looked out for Max Holloway's health. Let's run the numbers. Not just if we can make the weight. I mean, what do you say? Keyword? I don't want any long-term effects against my fighter, which is a sign of a really good manager, for one. But for two, that kind of strikes on my worry here is now, how is the corner, how is the referee going to be? Because let's be honest here, we saw that Edson Barboza fight, right? That last fight there. Now, I think the commentary was a little bit strong, saying, oh, I think they should throw the towel in, because if you look, by the third round, a battered Edson Barboza is defending. He defends like two solid shots by Khabib, you know, and he's battered and beaten by that point. So I think it's a little strong by the commentary saying maybe we should throw the towel in. But let's be honest, guys. We could see that scenario play out again with the stylistic matchup. And Max is super tough. He's, you know, we see these Hawaiian fighters, their durable chins, their toughness, their not willingness to quit. I just want to make sure, I guess what I'm saying is, I just want to make sure if the fight does go down a certain path, I want to make sure he's protected. You know, he's already done his part. He's stepping in there. We know he's going to fight. We know he's a warrior. If it goes down that path, I just want to make sure he's protected.
You know what's sad is we've all mentioned safety at some point, whether it was on the pre-show with Brian Butler or here.
Right.
But I wonder, and I hope, but I wonder if over there at the UFCPI, when they were crunching, putting their heads together, if the only thing they thought of, hey, we can't lose, the winner gets Conor. You know, like, because Conor's still out there, and even though they'll strip him, if he is coming back at some point, he just couldn't do it now, either Khabib in Russia, which, if you follow politics alone, that alone might be a challenge.
Right.
Or it could be Khabib versus Max, which would be two young stars who have fought in the past and have been waging a war of words on Twitter, whether that becomes available to them, you know, because Max will be what Conor was. Conor will have had two titles stripped from him, and Max will have been a guy that, sure, he may have lost to Conor, but he also beat Aldo, and he will have beaten the guy that everyone feels Conor fears, and that's the Russian, Khabib Nurmagomedov. And he would have a title defense, which is something Conor McGregor never has had, even as Cage Warriors dual weight champion and UFC dual weight champion. He's never had a title defense, and that's where the greatness starts. Getting to be a champion means he's great, but are you going to be a legend and an icon in the sport? You start looking at title defenses, your title runs. That's the history making news and facts, you know, that one can add to their resume. And if Conor is thirsts for as much as he says he does in terms of athletic competition and greatness to go along with stacking paper, then he's going to come back and he's going to want to fight a Max Holloway. And boy, he'll be great licking point. His chops if Max wins, right?
Great point.
In Hawaii?
Oh.
In Hawaii.
I gotta imagine that would give it some extra juice, too. And again, I don't want to put my tinfoil hat on to think, you know, is the UFC thinking about safety? But that is a good point. But more importantly, that brings an even stronger point where it's a smarter move to put Holloway there because, yes, obviously the history you just referred to, George, they're trash talk back and forth. And when you look deeper into it, Conor McGregor is not typically a guy that is trying to, you know, revisit matchups or revisit titles, hence the point you just made about his title defenses that go back to Cage Warriors. But who's the one guy that he keeps tweeting at?
Max Holloway.
The one guy? Yeah, he keeps making jabs at. So, yeah, you're right. That's a great point there. And,
Could be that that's what was dictating the terms here. You know what I mean? He's beaten Poirier in the past as well at featherweight, and now Poirier's a lightweight. So there would have been something there, but Max is just a bigger star because of the belt he currently has.
And
who knows, man? Max may walk out of this if he beats Khabib, just being the biggest star in MMA, say for when we talk about pay-per-views, but I'm talking about like what's currently right. Trending and popping. And if they go to Hawaii, I mean, he could be, you know, right on the footsteps of what BJ Penn was at one time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is what do we say? You know, BJ Penn, pound for pound fighters. And what did Max say? This is what pound for pound fighters are all about. And like you said, George, it's when you start making those title defenses, you start kind of getting that legacy and or taking super fights in this spirit, especially. It reminds me of the BJ Penn, Matt Hughes, UFC 46. Remember, they couldn't find anybody for Hughes. Was just dominating everybody. Like, who's this lighter guy coming up to challenge? And that was the guy that dethroned Matt Hughes at the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's happened before.
But I will say this, guys, and we'll take these calls, 866-522-2846 as we're talking and I'm hearing all the points, I'm still not sure it's the best. It may have been the best decision. Still a guy coming off an injury.
Yeah.
Khabib Rex, you know, he has Rex shop in the past. I pulled up Khabib's record and I want to look at it and see who has a similar skill set to what Max Holloway brings to the party and what have they been able to do. Because a lot of guys that he has been able to manhandle on the ground were wrestlers. and Max isn't a wrestler. And Max has this stat where he's like, the last 27 takedown attempts that were attempted on him, they all failed.
Yeah.
But who was his list of opponents? We'll have to look at who Max was stopping. I know Aldo was one of them. He's not a wrestler, but he's, you know, pretty damn good. All right, let's talk to Rick from Alaska. What's up, Rick? How you doing?
Hey, guys. A couple things to say here. First, the MMA gods are cruel sons of bitches to be doing this on April Fool's and Easter.
That's right, Rick.
Shout out to Fernanda Prats for writing the column on MMA Junkies Blue Corner where he breaks down the five stages of grief from losing the original main event. That was some good stuff. I am slightly confused about some minor details. So Ferguson was the interim champion until he takes a tumble at the UFC studio set. So besides giving the chair that tripped him over and taking out Ferguson, you take the title, you hold it up, and you put it in this new main event. But I know Connor technically isn't the champion, but he kind of still is. So now you still have two titles up there, and Ferguson has another argument for still being the champ and just being stripped in the quickest fashion I can possibly think of. I mean, he was the champion Sunday morning, but by Sunday afternoon he wasn't. And then you got another belt to consider.
Hold on a second.
Yep.
Conor McGregor will be stripped at some point before that fight starts. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the whole fucking mystery to it all. But
I think just goes away.
Let's just say, we still have the thing where both guys have to make the scale.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then they can't. Then the winner, because the fight will still happen, the winner cannot become the undisputed champion. The winner's just a guy who won, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tony may be able to keep the interim belt. And again, we don't know the severity of Tony's injury, but I thought I read torn ligament. So it does sound like it'll be a while. Anyway, I was just thinking about that, Rick, as you said it.
Until weigh-in, we really won't know officially what's going to happen.
Yeah, if everything goes business as usual, we won't have Tony as an interim and Connor as undisputed. One of these two will take it home. But because we've seen this bullshit in the past where, only he's eligible, he's not, that whole thing, we just have to ride it out for another 6 days.
Yeah, and, I was just listening to you guys saying that, talking about the featherweight division, you know, Max Holloway's actual division. And I think this hurts his division quite a bit because it will slow down the meteoric rise of Brian Ortega. And I was excited to see Ortega versus Holloway more than anything else. I mean, this fight was looking pretty good, too. But that was the fight I was truly looking at. And if, Max Holloway wins the lightweight championship, he might just want to stay in that division because I think he was already talking about doing it anyways. So then who does Ortega fight? Does he fight the winner of Frank Yeager? And Frank Yeager is fighting Cub Swanson, right? So either of those guys win.
Yeah, it's just 3 weeks
Ortega
later.
Recently bought. Yeah, and so this sets up two crazy scenarios nobody thought would ever happen. This sets up a chance for Brian Ortega to be facing a title eliminator against Jeremy Stephens if he beats Jose Aldo, which I think he will, because they're not going to pair him against either Cub Swanson or Frank Yeager anytime soon. So that's the only other fight that's considerably a title eliminator. And this also sets up Max Holloway finally getting that Conor McGregor rematch he wanted that none of us really thought he would get. I mean, some of us thought, maybe it would happen, but this is making it more likely than anything else. So it's interesting. But anyways, that's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Okay. All right. See ya.
I think what scares me the most is probably the insane amount of money that Max Holloway is about to make in a short period of time. Is that hunger still going to be there? I mean, you kind of want to do something with that money, right? As we saw with Conor McGregor.
I don't know. I think he's the last guy. I think of all the champions, we have to worry about that when you look at kind of his attitude, his proof of work, and the way he's taken fights from his 2014 run when he was just a contender to, his run as champion. You know, he's setting the example. He's not doing the super fights that are like Conor was looking for Floyd. He's taking super fights like that are against Khabib, like the ones that nobody wants.
If it were one division, though, I wouldn't worry about it too, because he's probably the best guy, like you said.
Right.
If it were one division, but two divisions, I mean, you have to be double active.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So
I mean,
now you really got to be fighting back to back. So who knows what's going to happen there?
I think it's more of a problem if he wins, but maybe to alleviate Rick's concern and then a previous concern that George mentioned about still not being sure with the injury, is I think the injury, as bad as it is, as much as it kind of strengthens the case where I don't know about this, because you know, what was it? Was it just last week or a couple weeks ago? There was an interview of Max Holloway saying I'm not going to be able to train till mid-April, looking for summer return is what he was quoted at. So how much is he really training if it's beginning of April? If he was just recently, just as last month, quoted as saying he's not going to be able to train till mid-April. Like, that is really worrisome. But at the same time, now parlaying that to Rick's worry about returning to the featherweight division is being so close to an injury without the fight actually being booked. It wasn't like the Aldo Edgar Holloway triangle we saw in the last 6 months play out. Like, there wasn't a hard booking, right, for Max Holloway or Ortega yet. Ortega just had two fights coming off back-to-back pretty close himself, right, from Cub Swanson to stepping in for Edgar. So it's not like he's hurting for a paycheck or hurting for activity. So in that sense, I would argue that puts the percentage higher that Max Holloway will make a return. But if he wins, like you said, goes. Ooh, it could. He could stay there. He could stay there.
Rick opened up a can of worms that
– the Ortega?
Well, when he started saying and Cub and – Frankie, and he's right, but I mean, all these things haven't happened yet.
Right.
But then he started mentioning Aldo, and I'm wondering as everyone goes to their MMA Junkie app and gets the news, when Aldo opens it up and sees it, I wonder if he goes, "Whoo! Now I got that monster out of my division. You know, let's really ramp it up for Stevens, because somehow these guys that win multiple weight classes." Man, I saw David Branch pull it off at World Series of Fighting. My hat's off to him. Yeah. I think he got either two title defenses each. So he was able to do it. There was still an injury in there somewhere. And World Series just doesn't have, you know, they didn't have those types of pressures like the UFC has to deliver, you know, over and over and over. But it really, really is almost close to impossible to be a dual weight class world champion, because you get a taste of the higher weight class. And those extra 10 pounds or 15 pounds or whatever you get, depending on what classes you get, you know, that and the more money that you're getting, do you really, really want to put your – it's going to have to take a special human being. It may be Max Holloway. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know, man. Because if he beats Habib, how's he beat Habib? It's not going to be a five-round war. A five-round war means Habib destroyed him.
It's got
to be quick, where he just basically, boom, connects, uppercut it, or a knee maybe as Habib is rushing in. You know, and if he can get out of that and the hands are good and they give him that title, you know, he'll be answering all the questions we all want to know. What's next? Which one you want to do first? You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, who knows what he'll want to answer. But truthfully, what would be next is for him to defend against Brian Ortega.
A contender?
Which is going down 10 pounds, you know, and still healing up from this injury. What's that?
A contender, I think we all can agree we want to see them fight 3 times a year, right? A champion, we probably live with 2 now. They make a lot of money. They take a little bit more time off in between fights.
Oh, I still like 3.
So 2, but it just doesn't happen really anymore. So 2 times, 2 divisions, that's 4 fights in a year. That ain't going to happen. Sorry, partner, but that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, you know? And the UFC is not going to – I don't think they're going to put the featherweight of Brian Ortega as much as they're trying to build him up precedence over a nice shiny lure to get Mr. McGregor back into the octagon too. So I imagine that 55 title will be being defended first. If Holloway wins, yeah. Yeah, they're going to – I mean, yeah, like –
So he's vacate 45? I just don't see how you can become the 55 champ and immediately defend it unless Ortega does say he's hurt. I think it just has to
Conor
be a which one was
–
Was huh?
Conor McGregor. That's
oh, because of Conor McGregor.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
If Conor McGregor comes
that's
back,
that's what I'm saying. We've seen it supersede everything. So which kind of plays into
Max will hold some. You know, he's going to hold some cards.
I hope so.
I wonder at what point the cards that he holds will allow him to dictate the terms to Conor, because Conor's been pissing on him a little bit on social media. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and trust me, we'll all get pissed on for the certain amount of money, but. So what I'm getting at is Conor McGregor, at some point, if he does come back and wants to fight Max Holloway, what will Max Holloway do? He's gonna say, okay, you got to play on my terms.
Mm-hmm.
What are those terms? Hawaii?
Jesus.
Will he say, I want you at 45 or 55? He may tell him, I'll take you at 45 if you want to fight me. Right? But the UFC will go, no, we want to make the fight at 55. What if he just says, well, then I'm out?
He's shooting himself in the foot, right?
He might be if money's what dictates. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. We'll all take a certain amount of money to get pissed on or whatever.
But see, right now, like, even all this talk that we're having about a possibility of Conor McGregor, Max Holloway, I don't think that's on his radar. I think GSP's the guy that he wants. And I think no matter what the scenario is, I think he feels like there's more money there.
Wait till you see what the numbers come in. And if the numbers come in at a high rate, then why would he mess with GSP when he can mess with a guy he's already beaten, mm-hmm. Who doesn't present wrestling and still make as much money? Conor McGregor, he chases money, not greatness first. And you see, look,
yep.
But you know, I still.
So if that's the case,
I know I go back and forth, but I still admire that he was willing to take Rafael Dos Anjos at one point. At that point in time, yeah. Dos Anjos was a beast who presented the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling, the striking, you know, just a big, big dude. And he was willing to match it up with him. So I always have to think about that one. But for the most part, he has just seemed to avoid those guys that can really, really make his life hell on the ground. And that's why I think the GSP talk, I guess, for a 165-pound title. But see how it goes. And, Dan, the way Conor thinks is he can fix everything with his words. But in reality, if he can catch GSP on a short camp or coming off an injury or coming off a layoff, something that's sudden that he wasn't expecting, that's prime for Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's how he strikes. So, I don't know. Let's take a break. Let's regroup. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on Sirius XM Rush 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls at 866-522-2846.
They are the stretch marks on the underbelly of the MMA community. But hey, stretch marks are the new tats. They are Gorgeous George and Goes.
Start your day with SiriusXM. Enable the SiriusXM skill on your Amazon device and then tell Alexa to set an alarm to your favorite channel. You'll wake up to the sounds of SiriusXM. With SiriusXM and Alexa, you can get the latest sports news each morning without picking up your phone or turning on the TV. All right, let's take some calls. 866-522-2846 is the number to call in. Talking UFC 223, big shakeup at the top. Max Holloway steps in for Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson's out due to knee injury. Max Holloway will face Khabib Nurmagomedov. And I want to be clear, for the UFC Undisputed title. Only problem is the Undisputed Champion has not been stripped yet. It'll all happen this week. It'll all work out. It's a big fucking mystery. Just trust us. But that's the position the UFC kind of puts us in a little bit with the things they do, you know. I wish
you're
it wasn't like
that. You're a casual fan.
That.
You'd be very confused.
Yeah, you'd be like, come on, man. What is this, a fucking circus? What's going on? You know, like, who's the champ? Who's doing what? It doesn't work out that way sometimes in our business because the dollar sign sometimes rules over everything. And I don't know. Sometimes I'm not the biggest fan of that. But whatever. Others will say it's what makes the sport unique. All right. Let's start off with Showtime in Tennessee. What's up, Showtime? It's your time.
What's going on, fellas?
Showtime.
What's up, man?
Man, I actually thought this was some April Fool's stuff yesterday, man, when I saw this. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man, when they said it was true. But I'm going to tell you this, man. Max, I don't know, man. It's something about Max. I think I may double down. I don't know. Just think about, if Max is able to pull this off, the trump card that he'll have on Conor, because he wants Conor, and this is the best way to get it. You know, sometimes you got to do something that's unexpected, and rise to the occasion, take the fight that don't nobody else want to take. A lot of guys wasn't lining up to take this fight.
Well, I don't know if it got that far. You know, Kevin's always called out Khabib. I admire him for that, but he was out of the sweepstakes with the loss to Ferguson. Ferguson has never shied away from Khabib. He was on, you know, he signed on the dotted line four times. I wonder what Poirier thinks of all this. We'll talk to him in about 1 hour. Eddie Alvarez is the only other guy coming off a win. Everybody else, I mean, Barbosa was willing to take on Khabib. But, okay, how about this? Holloway stopped 27 takedown attempts, and I think it was across his last five fights. Who were those guys? Jose Aldo twice, Anthony Pettis, Carl Lamas, Jeremy Stevens. Even if it goes back as far as Charles Oliveira and Cub Swanson, only two guys really, really have some sort of a wrestling background. And really, Stevens rarely wrestles. It's more Ricardo Lamas, who's actually wrestled and used that in his fight. He had trouble getting Max Holloway to the ground, but he is a 45er, and he's not Habib. Habib has been able to get the following guys down to the ground. Barbosa, okay, striker, no problem. Johnson, okay, striker, no problem. Horcher, Dos Anjos, Healy, Trujillo, Tavares, Tabao, Chalarus was also UFC. A few of those guys are wrestlers. I mean, didn't Trujillo get tossed around like a ragdoll about 21 times?
Clear up some stats real quick since we've referenced up a couple times now. 27 takedowns Max Holloway has defended in his last nine fights. In his last 10 fights, he's been taken in his last 11 fights, he's been taken down five times. So that means you have to go back to Clay Collard and Andre Feely for his last takedowns. Clay Collard getting him down once, I believe. Feely three times, and that they weren't getting a high percentage on their attempts. That was an earlier version of Max Holloway. People want to go and pull the Conor McGregor thing, but which is before that sample size. B, everybody talks about McGregor's knee injury in the second, but few people talk about Holloway's fractured foot in the first round, first exchange. Yeah, it's gonna affect your takedown defense there. So we've seen him grow. As far as Trujillo, yeah, that was a ragdolling. It was one of the most amazing performances as far as like Khabib's grappling. But Trujillo was actually one of the few guys to take Khabib Nurmagomedov down. Because if you look, Nurmagomedov doesn't have a perfect takedown percentage as well. Tebow was also to take him down a couple. Able to take him down a couple times in a fight that, as you saw, heard our Bobby Green, our guest.
Tebow
beat him. So it gets real deceptive. The sample size is what George was kind of leading to, that I'll throw my two cents into. You want to look at is George nailed it. Stevens versus Lamas as far as Max Holloway. Those are your best wrestlers, most relevant. You're going to see a lot of good stuff as far as Max Holloway defending takedown. But as far as Khabib's, he laundry list of wrestlers, but I actually looked at the Michael Johnson fight. You got a 145er, an athletic guy, a striker, a counter-striker. One of his worst matchups, I'll admit it, I'll stand by it right now, I picked Michael Johnson to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov, and I don't feel like an idiot for doing so despite the result, because if you look, Khabib got rocked multiple times in that fight. But Khabib was still able to kind of corral the more fleet of foot wrestler. So those are the sample sizes. All right, I just have to clear those stats and throw those sample sizes out there for ones you might want to look at. Anybody trying to break down the wrestling.
And Johnson, though, did have a full camp.
He did.
And Holloway didn't.
He did. He had more of a camp than Johnson, but Johnson took that fight on short notice, too, because he was coming off the Hidalgo. He was coming off the Poirier knockout, and he actually took it on, I believe, I want to say it was 2 weeks' notice. They actually announced it. They got it done, I believe, the day of one of the press conferences or something of the week, or one of the media things the week before. I remember that.
Like a hashtag press conference? Anyway, Showtime, yeah. Look.
Michael Johnson, is that even a real name? What a ridiculous name. Shout out to our buddy Michael Johnson.
Showtime, let me tell you something. Okay, when we first heard it, dude, it was like a shot in the arm, man. Everybody was high and fucking prancing around with bunnies and eggs. But as we're starting to settle into this, I am thinking, wow, you know, that is a tough task for Holloway. He is going to have to be pinpoint on the chin, or this fight is just not going to look too pretty either. Yeah. So as excited as I am, I want to fist bump you and all. Khabib is a terminator, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, he's a beast, man. I think Max gonna have to touch him and stop him. I mean, choke him out, or you know, hit him and hurt him and choke him out. I think that's gonna have to be his game plan. One thing we see, Khabib can be hit. He is hittable. He is human.
I've always wondered what Khabib's submission game is like too, and I wanted to see at least an exchange with him. Thanks for the call, Showtime. Him and Ferguson, where Ferguson attacks the neck, just to see what Khabib has there.
Yeah,
and Darce is what finished
Venata?
Cub, right? Holloway finished him with?
I think it was a guillotine.
Was it a guillotine?
Yeah, it was guillotine.
Yeah, so I'm anxious to see just what kind of chokes Holloway may have if he does get his hands on him, you know, or maybe in a scramble takes his back, because you don't really want to give up a front choke and then be on your back if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Who knows? But Ferguson just seems to have a high-level choke game. Let's go to Johnny in Dallas. What's up, Johnny? How you doing?
How you doing? So what? Max Holloway ain't got nothing to lose.
That's going up
155. He ain't got nothing to lose.
Yeah, pretty much, other than his health. I mean, we want him defending at 45, but he's on the cusp of greatness. If he pulls it off, then hats off to him. A cowboy hat off to him, like the one you're probably wearing right now.
If he loses Ortega, he's doing.
I know, man. Yeah.
What are you at, a comedy show or something, man? Thanks for the call. He's laughing his ass off. Let's go to Marco in Waco, Texas. What's up, Marco? How you doing?
That's great.
Marco from Waco, Roy. No!
Yeah, bring it back. Dude, bring that drop back.
I sacrificed 3 goals and 2 virgins to the MMA goals and they didn't take my offering, dude. I can't believe this shit, man. Now, I had a little discussion with Dieter. What happened to Tony, man? I mean, before yesterday, I just found out listening to you guys. I unplugged myself from the MMA news. I come and listen to you and you're giving me this news. What happened, man?
Okay, so what we're hearing was he was on the Fox slot doing a round of interviews with LA Media. He saw somebody he wasn't expecting to see, kind of did a quick sharp turn, I guess, and fell, tripped. In that trip, he hurt his knee. I don't know if it was from the sudden movement or if it was from the trip itself. So it was really, really random, freak accident. It wasn't in sparring or any sort of training at all. It was just like kind of what you heard it, how you heard it.
Holy shit.
That comes courtesy of Brett Okamoto from ESPN.com.
Man, this fight is cursed. It's never going to happen. Let's not book this fight unless they're fighting for like the title, because 4 times, man. And well, I'm rooting for Max Holloway because I'm American, you know. I'm not going to, especially with all the meddling the Russians are doing with our internet and threatening to nuke us with ICBMs. No, let's pull for Max, USA, and let's the guy make history. Fuck Habib. Peace out.
Okay, we'll see you.
My heart's with Holloway. I mean, my pick might not be with Holloway, but my heart's with Holloway on this one for sure.
You know, I think I have enough reason to pick Habib on staff picks.
Right.
But of the two, I have enjoyed covering Max. Well, I've covered him for longer. Yeah. I think I know him a little bit better than Habib. So I would say, yeah, I'm on your side. That when the fight happens, that's what I hope. But it's nothing from away from Habib. Habib's been super respectful on our show. After our show, I took him back to his apartment once, and we actually had lunch and had a great time chatting. You know.
You're going to sprinkle some cheddar, though, I think, on Max Holloway. Who wouldn't?
Well, because that's how you make money. You know, if you take a chance on a parlay with an underdog that has a chance, and all of a sudden it turns into more of a lotto ticket than gambling. You lose most of those, but when you win, you strike hard, you know, and it makes sense. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. But,
yeah.
That's probably the way it'll wind up. You know, they'll have a little bit of action everywhere, but one of my parlays will have a Max Holloway just because that's what'll pay me well.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of the odds, I picked up these odds, and Joanna Jędrzejczyk is -160, Rose Namajunas +130.
Uh-huh.
Calvin Kattar -160, Renato Moicano -130. Wait, what? No, plus. Michael Chiesa -135. Anthony Pettis +105. Ally Aquinta -130. Paul Felder even. Karolina Kovacevic -180. Felice Herrig +150. Ray Borg -280. Brandon Moreno +230. Joe Lazan -160. Chris Grutzemacher +130. So look at all the underdogs here. These are all good fighters who could win their fights. I'm just going to say Ferguson because prior to the injury, he was the dog. But Ferguson, +200, a guy that's only lost once in the UFC.
Ugh.
That's it. Rose Namajunas, the current UFC strawweight champion.
Yeah.
Renato Moicano, who's only lost one time in his career, and that one loss was Brian Ortega in a war in Anaheim.
Oh, yeah.
Anthony Pettis, a former UFC lightweight champ and a former WEC lightweight champ. Paul Felder, who's, I think, on a 5-fight win streak. Felice Herrig, who's on a 4-fight win streak, if I'm not mistaken. And aside from that, she has beaten, like, 3 straight undefeated opponents. Brandon Moreno, +230. I don't know that he has enough accomplishments to say, look what he's done. But he's a solid flyweight who had an incredible run through tough and then his early fights in the UFC. got held back a little bit, got checked, and by Sergio Pettis. And since then,
it's a big number.
He has taken some time off to regroup, but he comes against Ray Borg, who's a force. And then Chris Gritzemacher, I remember a little bit. He was on that season with Uriah and I think Connor or Dominic. It was a while ago. You know I'm Team Lazon for many times, so I don't know. I'll watch the fight, but I think Lazon will take that one. But still, man, that's a lot of fighters that are pretty damn good who are underdogs. You got to tip your hat to the matchmaking. They came in really strong. All right, let's take a break. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on Sirius XM Rush 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. Don't forget, Dustin Poirier coming up in the second hour.
If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
They taught Andy Griffith how to whistle. Here are Gorgeous George and Goes.
Every game of the NCAA tournament is on Sirius XM. Tonight, number 3 Michigan takes on number 1 Villanova in the national championship. ESPNU Radio is live from San Antonio all day, leading into Westwood One's coverage of the game at 9:20 p.m. Eastern. ESPNU Radio is on Sirius XM, Channel 84, and on the Sirius XM app. What do you got tonight, Goes?
Villanova.
You give a shit who wins or...
No, I don't want Michigan to win.
Why not?
I don't like them.
Wow, okay. I guess it doesn't matter to me as much. And I think Michigan's the dog, so I'll probably bet the dog and just root for them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What I haven't checked was...
And it doesn't matter to me as far as March Madness is concerned, like the office pools, because I'm out. I have no chance at winning anything, not even a complimentary second or third place where you get the money back from your pool. I think if Villanova wins, you may take second, which would either get you your money back or maybe plus $25, $30, who knows. All right, let's take some calls here. Who do we have on the
Muna.
Is it Muna from San Francisco? What's up, Muna? How you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for taking my call, you guys. I do appreciate it. I'll be real quick. When I heard about the news yesterday, of course, I thought it was an April Fool's joke. And then when I started seeing the reports from Junkie and ESPN, I kind of cried. I canceled a birthday party and a wedding to watch UFC 223. And when I heard the news, I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. This is the fourth time. And I don't think I've been distraught for a fight cancellation like this one. So, I mean, Max Holloway, it's a good consolation. I mean, I'll watch it. It's just, man, I have never seen a fight that's been so cursed before. And it makes no sense. And I kind of understand Dana saying he might not want to schedule this again. But, yeah, that's pretty much it, man. So I was bummed, but I still look forward to this card. It's a great card. It's a stacked card. And hopefully the main event will be at least competitive and exciting.
So now you're only going to go to 13 weddings this year? That's kind of a drop.
By 11.
Wedding crashers.
Dude, Muna goes to so many weddings, George. All over the country, too.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's true. Hawaii, Atlanta, Houston. So, all right, you guys, have a great show. Happy April. And, yeah, have a great week.
See you, Muna.
Man, it's I don't know if it's up, if it's mine, but it's definitely up there for me now that Muna's saying it. Granted, you know, bought tickets to fly across the country to go see this fight, and even me, man, as I don't want to say jaded is the right word, but as numb as you can get by watching X amount of fights, you know what I'm saying? Like, here's a unique one. Okay, very few people, you know, spend that amount of time watching fights, but if you do, you understand what I'm saying here, where it can kind of start getting numb. And you guys, please weigh in on this. Obviously, you guys have been watching fights for years, and you know, kind of get, you know, okay, this gets me excited, sure. But this was one of those fights where it felt like it went above the barometer, right? It's not like oh yeah, I'm excited, yeah. This one, like, extra, you know, like as far as breaking it down, everything. Like I loved everything about this fight. You know, I did the whole history of the lightweight division thing, just getting excited about this division, this fight. So I am right there with Muna, man. Don't feel bad about saying that.
Well, they bring excellent records. Excellent overall records.
Yeah.
Excellent UFC records. And then the fact that they've booked each other a few times, we've already seen quite a few pose-offs. It hasn't happened during fight week as much. Yeah. But we've seen them, you know, whether they're promoting it, hashtag press conferences, whatever, and you can tell there's genuine heat. You got the side plot where Ferguson doesn't even like Ali, who's Habib's manager, and then, of course, on Habib's side, there's so many people, so many of his fans that are always posting on Tony's Instagram or his Twitter handle and giving him grief.
Uh-huh.
But there was just a lot to really get excited about. You're right. It's more than just – like, Gaethje Poirier is a great fight, but it ends there. They don't really dislike each other, and there hasn't really been any – there hasn't been much animosity on social media. It's enough to get you to the venue and pay for the ticket because it's going to be a great fight. But these other guys, man, like, this is like –
so much connected to it.
It's a higher level of than just the main event because, again, someone is going to have really, really broken dreams and a lot of sorrow, broken heart, and the other guy is just going to be the man. Imagine if this is Habib's first loss. And if it isn't, imagine Habib, an undefeated UFC champion from Russia who will have taken out El Kakui, and what they can do with that guy and the star he's going to become. So, yeah, the ramifications are enormous.
Dude, think about just the human aspect of it. How many of us, when we know money's coming in, already kind of start spending it? I mean, Tony got pretty far. I think far enough where I think if somebody's going, babe, can we get that car? I think at this point I would have said, yeah, I think we've gotten past the point. Go ahead and pull that trigger. I mean, think about how much that sets him back financially. That's got to suck, dude. This is going to be a huge payday. Huge.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. He will get no show. No win. His next fight, because Tony's a positive thinker. He was probably thinking, I get my show. I get my win. I'm eligible for a bonus. And in my next fight, I will be a point player. I will get
pay-per-view points.
Pay-per-view points. Because he will be an undisputed champion. Well, actually, as an interim champion, he may have negotiated that. Who knows? And now nothing. Not even that nice, cozy $30,000 you get as being interim champion. I believe it's the challenger gets it. The champion may get four. He was even going to get a nice check from Reebok. That was going to show up in the mail. So say $40,000 on it.
Dude.
And he's not going to get that either. So, yeah, that's quite a hit. And now we know there's a torn ligament. It's a knee injury. And I don't know which ligament it is. And, sometimes you get other reports that say partially torn or maybe not as severe as it. But this sounds to me like we probably won't see Tony till 2019.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You can't get that time back. And Tony is, look, he looks great, but I believe he's 34.
Yep.
He's not like 28.
34, yeah.
34, I mean, we'll have to check and see when his actual birth date is. But here, I'll tell you real fast. I got 20 seconds to play with. Tony Ferguson was born on, can I do it, guys?
Nope. Yeah, it's right there.
Where is it? Right? Where's his name? I got to hit his name first. Shit, I'm not going to be able to do it. Right. Tony Ferguson will be... I'll tell you his age when we come back in the second hour of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. Stay close. MMA Junkie Radio is brought to you by Freshly. Freshly delivers fully cooked, prepared meals straight to your door. No more coming home wondering what's for dinner because Freshly's team of chefs and nutritionists are here to save the day. You get to skip the shopping, chopping, and cleanup. All you got to do is heat them up and boom! Your meal is ready to eat in only 3 minutes.
To try Freshly out, go to Freshly.com/MMA to get $20 off your first week. That's 6 meals for just $39 plus free shipping. This offer is only valid for a limited time. So go to Freshly.com/MMA for $20 off and free shipping. Consider dinner done.
Steak, peppercorn all day, baby. That's my favorite. Guys, your bathroom called. It's time to give it the cleaning it deserves. Get rid of all the junk that's lying around. Freshen it up with high-quality products from Dollar Shave Club. Members like us, we get everything we need for the morning routine delivered right to your door.
DollarShaveClub.com. They deliver everything you need to look and feel and smell your best. Dollar Shave Club is more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club has shave butter, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, everything you need to look and smell and feel at your best and give you a baby face like me, George. Check me out.
I'm digging it, goes. The Dollar Shave Club is better than shopping in the store, and it delivers everything to you. You don't have to set foot in the store, wandering the aisles, hunting for razors, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, none of it. Clean up your bathroom and your morning routine.
Join Dollar Shave Club today, and just for $5 with free shipping, you'll get the 6-blade executive razor plus trial sizes of shave butter,
body cleanser, one wipe Charlie's.
Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month.
Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. She rock to the east, she rock to the west, but she's the girl that I love best.
What's he say after Tutti Frutti?
Oh, Rudy?
I used to think it was Paul Rudy.
And then Danny corrected me, but I still don't know what he says.
I don't know what he says either. All right, it's the second hour of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. So Dan Tom beat me to the punch, but Tony Ferguson just turned 34 on February 12th, 1984. February 12th. So he's 34 years of age. He was born in 1984. Even if it's the most minor of knee injuries, I would say 6 months and he's back, but today is April 2nd. So 6 months would be May, June, July, August, September, October. That's when I believe he would be healthy and be able to take a fight. So that really kind of puts him into the later part of this year. Most knee injuries are 9 months, save for the one I got, which is the worst one you can get. But most of them are 9 months when we talk about those torn ligaments, and so that puts him towards the end of the year and him probably not being able to fight somewhere around almost this time next year. Maybe sooner than that, because Tony, if there's one thing he does do is push through, seems to lead a healthy lifestyle, but Benavidez was almost a whole year out with his – he was the most recent high-profile fighter that I know.
Man.
And it hurts, man. But it definitely hurts the pocketbook. All right, so let's do the daily debate, and then we are going to play you a pre-record from earlier today where we talked to Max Holloway's manager, Brian Butler. But before we do that, let's talk about our poll question for today, brought to you by the MMA Junkie Radio team. You guys ready?
Sure, let's do it.
Do you think Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov will ever fight before their careers are over? Dan Tom.
Man, I saw a fake poster of them as old men, and I like to say that the most realistic depiction of when these guys will ever fight. Because honestly, aside from some crazy instance like that, I don't see them fighting again. I know UFC president Dana White was quoted as saying, hell no, so I don't see them fighting again, guys. Sorry.
I did not know Dana White said that. He did?
Yeah.
Well, he obviously holds a lot of cards. I wonder why he said that. Mm. Just because he felt like these guys, the fight is actually jinxed itself, or if he has any sort of feelings towards either fighter, which I don't think so. I mean, the guy got injured. But I think it's just easier to say yes, to tell you the truth, because they're both high-profile names. They only have one UFC loss between the two of them, and only three losses combined between the two of them in their overall careers. These guys are going to be at the top of divisions, and I just don't see two great fighters avoiding themselves. Will we all be on our toes? Of course. Will we all be trepidatious? You know, have that feeling of, come on, are we going to get to that finish line? Yes. But I think one way or another, it will happen. And I just don't know if it'll be at bigger stakes than what it would have been like on Saturday night for both the guys competing for the undisputed title. Goes, what do you think?
On the UFC side, I don't think they're making any plans anytime soon to make this happen. But I have a feeling it's just unavoidable. I think the two guys are just too high up at the top always to not eventually run into each other. But I would see it maybe happening short notice style, something like that. But as far as the UFC making that plan and putting promotion together behind it, I don't think they're going to cross that bridge.
2,178 votes came in. 66 came in with a no answer. 34% said yes. So there you have it. Couple of us think it will happen, a couple of us don't. And that's our daily debate to you, brought to you by the MMA Junkie Radio team. All right, earlier today we played, we spoke with Brian Butler, Max Holloway's manager, and this is a quick interview, but we kind of hit all the important points from what transpired really less than 24 hours ago. He clearly said it all started last night. Last night was Easter Sunday, and he has got 3 hours advanced from what we have. So last night during the PM hours, you know, he's in Richmond, Virginia. Brian Butler took a call from the UFC, and he had to start lobbing a call to Max Holloway, which he actually is 6 hours time difference.
Mm-hmm.
So Max Holloway was probably having lunch. I don't know what he was doing, but you guys will enjoy this. We're talking to Brian Butler here on MMA Junkie pre-record. Hit it, Danny. Joining us now on the hotline is Brian Butler, Max Holloway's manager. What's up, Brian? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Sorry about that, guys. It's been crazy. I am scrambling to get to Brooklyn as we speak.
When did all this start? When did you hear about Tony?
Yesterday evening.
Oh, wow. Yesterday evening. Okay. And so do you know if you were option A in terms of replacing Tony with Max?
From my understanding, we were option A, yes.
Okay. And what was your gut feeling before you even called Max? How had you been hearing about Max healing from the injury that kept him out of UFC 222?
He's been healing up actually really fast. The treatments that he was getting were healing him pretty well, and he was training. So I didn't feel too bad about it. I knew Max actually had been talking about wanting to fight Khabib for a while. So I knew if the opportunity was there, you know, he would take it. My only real concern was 6 days notice if Max can actually make the weight in a healthy manner. So we talked to George Lockhart. George Lockhart ran the numbers. He said he 100% could do it. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to have any long-term effect. And George gave me his word that the numbers worked out and he can do it. It's just going to be Max is just going to have to knuckle down. And we're there.
What was it like when you called Max? Did he think you had to get behind April Fools and just the fact that you guys have a close relationship and you're always joking around anyway?
Max knows me well enough where he could hear it in my voice. He knew I wasn't kidding.
And what did he say? What were his first words to you? Cursing is allowed.
He said, "Let's fucking go, bro." He's like, "This is how legends are made."
I love it.
That's awesome.
Brian Butler, our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio. He is Max Holloway's manager. Max Holloway and Khabib Nurmagomedov will be fighting for the UFC's undisputed lightweight title. I got that right, Brian? Like, I'm sure you've received legal paperwork that says the winner walks away with the undisputed title that's currently held by Conor McGregor, because we haven't heard that he's been stripped yet. So is that what you're hearing? Is that the formality that they'll strip him at some point between now and Saturday night and either your client or Khabib walks away with that title?
I don't know what they're saying to Conor, so I can't speak on that. I do know that I was told that this is for the official belt, so whatever. You know, it is what it is.
Brian, first and foremost, what's the first thing that has to happen? Is it what gets talked about? Money and then scenarios, what comes out of it, defending this and that? What is the first thing that gets addressed?
First thing to get addressed was if he could do it. If he could make the weight, if he could do it, and then it was just formalities after that.
The money was great from Max the get-go. Was there any back and forth?
There was a little back and forth, but Max, like I said, did not hesitate, and the deal got done.
Wow! And so, what on Max's behalf, like what was he doing at the time, and how quickly did everything get shaken up? Where Easter plans need to be canceled. What happened going forward from there?
Man, everything needed to be canceled. Within a couple of hours of getting the news, you know, we had to let George Lockhart crunch the numbers, because I said my number one concern was whether it was going to be safe for Max, not whether he could make it, whether he could make it safe without any long-term, issues coming from it. And that was the number one thing. So George had to crunch a lot of numbers and get all the numbers, body fat percentage and all that stuff. And, once that was done, it was a green light, and Max was literally packing his bag. Well, I called Max the first time, and he was like, "No fucking way." He's like, "Let's do it, bro. You know, that's how legends get made," all that stuff. Got off the phone with him, called George. George started crunching the numbers. 5 minutes later, I call Max back, and I hear him just panting. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm on the treadmill. So he was going. So
Brian, these numbers that were being crunched, I know that the number they got to get to is 155. Can you tell us what the starting point is or was?
I don't want to talk about that right now. Right now we've got a lot of focus, and we're going to make it. You guys are going to see, and Max is feeling very good and very confident. Everything is happening so fast that, you know, just trust that Max is on an airplane now, and I'm going to see him in a couple hours in Brooklyn, and I'm packing my bags right now.
And then as far as the money, like Goz mentioned, when Max normally fights, at least in the last year or so, he's getting these pay-per-view points. But in this instance, he's not going in as a champion. So were you able to negotiate still to be able to get that type of cut, or is it more of a flat fee?
Nope, we got everything that we needed to get. We're all happy. UFC did what they needed to do.
All right. Well, this is solid stuff, man. incredible that all this went down. You should have seen everybody yesterday.
April Fool's, man. Everybody thought it was April Fool's, and it's not. I mean, my phone had like 400 text messages on it.
Mm-hmm. Max is already on his way to New York, huh?
He's on the plane right now, yes.
That is crazy. Now you have, I think, 3 clients going? Is it Felice, Paul, and Max, or is there another one?
Felice, Paul, and Max. Carla Esparza is going to be a special guest, so it's going to be. It just turned into a pretty crazy weekend.
Wow. All right. Well, history could be made. Oh, do you have a quick question? Dan's got a
quick
question.
Yeah, I just got one quick question. Obviously, you know, preparation, you can only talk about so much, Brian, and you can only prepare so much with what's given. But correct me if I'm wrong, this isn't the first time Max has wanted to get in on this kind of a dropout, particularly involving Tony, because, correct me if I'm wrong, did he not try to step in on the UFC Sioux Falls back in 2016 to fight Tony on one of these dropouts here?
Yes, and if you saw the last media press conference that they did, Max actually said he would fight Khabib too, so he's been on our radar for a while.
Okay, cool, because that was my next question. Obviously, preparation, you only can prepare so much, but obviously he looked at Tony, and yes, that was going to be my question. Did he also look at Khabib in that hypothetical? So, wow, he was on your radar for a while now.
He said it. He said it to the, I don't know if the audience drowned it out, but Max flat out said it, yeah.
Okay, wow.
Brian, one last quick question. Do they even bother with any other form of a countdown, or is it just all about embedded at this point?
It's going to be about embedded, man. This was really, really short notice. It's going to be about embedded.
This is crazy. I can't believe it. All right. There you go. Brian Butler, I'm sure you got to hop on planes yourself. Thanks for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys, as always.
Okay. There you have it, folks. A pre-record with Max Holloway, Brian Butler's manager. I'm sure there was, you know, a little bit of back and forth with him in the UFC, him with George Lockhart, him with Max Holloway, but he got it done. We often talk about the fact that there's, you know, some great managers. A lot of media take heat in the sport, fans, managers, but he's really one of the solid managers, and he did his work yesterday. He's a father with kids. I'm sure he would have been, you know, rather doing Easter egg hunts, or maybe all that was over. I don't know, but he definitely did his work, and he hit on some important points. You know, you want to make sure that your client is getting paid what's due to him, because he's stepping in last moment and he could be taking years off of his, not off his life, but off his career. You know, but taking a fight like this is dangerous. It's a guy that's one weight class ahead of him. He hasn't properly put on 55. He wanted to go up at some point, but he hasn't properly adjusted his body to, you know, go up where, you know, you pack on a little bit of muscle. So either way, and if things don't go well, remember, he can't defend 45 if he sustains an injury, and that's when he'll really get paid, is defending at 45 with his points. But he fought for that on the money front. He made sure that a nutritionist that they work for was ready to go, and he could have a healthy weight cut. So it's set. It's done. He's already on a plane to New York. This thing's going to go happen. The countdown you saw involving Tony, erase that. Now it's all about embedded. Max Holloway versus Khabib Nurmagomedov on Saturday night.
How about the way we talked about money and what could happen to Tony Ferguson's life, right? He's missing out on this giant paycheck. How about Brian Butler, the money that he's probably going to be making now because of it, but yet his first intuition was to make sure his fighter was healthy. Mm. he was willing to give up what would be a substantial amount of money to make sure his dude is healthy first.
Yeah, it's something. It's funny. I was just listening to an interview with another manager. I honestly don't. I'm not sure if his name is escaping me, but it was a lesser known manager dealing with clients who kind of getting into the UFC. We don't really think about that. How much a manager has to do with protecting a fighter. We like to think about refs and corners and fighters' decisions. Their own decisions, right? As far as safety, but as far as you know, safety in their career, that the manager is a big deal. You know, you think about guys getting into the UFC. How many managers would like to say, "I have a UFC guy"? But how many managers are actually making sure their guys are ready to go into the UFC and step into those careers as opposed to building up their stables? There's a lot of ethics that people don't realize that managers can or can look the other way on. And so, it's, in other words, back to what George said, it's nice to see, you know, managers like Brian kind of taking those steps and like goes when putting the health before the money. Always nice to see.
And let's just say that wasn't the case and they did talk money first. At least he had the wherewithal to publicly say we were concerned with the safety first. I'm not saying that's what happened, but so many of these guys are Muppets at time, and they'll actually leave that last. And I'm thinking, wow, on the PR front, at least stand firm and united and make some sense, you know, make your clients proud. And a lot of them don't. A lot of them, you know, don't say the right things. But Brian Butler did. Hey, Dustin Poirier says he's ready to go a little bit early. How about we advance things a little bit, and it can open up the later part of the show? Because I'm scrambling, still trying to get us another guest or two. The news is massive, folks. If you haven't heard it, I'll repeat it here as we go out to break. Tony Ferguson is out. He tore his knee. Torn ligament in his knees from what we're hearing as he was doing a round of media late last week. And so he is out. He's not fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov at UFC 223 on Saturday night in the main event for the Undisputed title. It's going to be Max Holloway, the UFC featherweight champion. He's stepping up to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. So Max Holloway could be a dual weight champion, a simultaneous dual weight champion, if he comes through on Saturday night. If not, it'll be the Russian. And of course, I know both guys have to make weight. We'll stay positive that they do. Enough bad shit's already happened. All right, we'll be right back with Dustin Poirier. Stay close. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show on Sirius XM Rush 93.
Yeah, you. Can you please tap that rather large fellow on the shoulder and tell him it's time for more MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goes? Thank you.
Every game of the NCAA tournament is on SiriusXM. Tonight, number 3 Michigan takes on number 1 Villanova in the national championship. ESPNU Radio is live from San Antonio all day, leading into Westwood One's coverage of the game at 9:20 p.m. Eastern. ESPNU Radio, on SiriusXM Channel 84 and on the SiriusXM app. All right, so our next guest, Dustin Poirier, he will be fighting on April 14th at UFC on Fox 29 down in Glendale, Arizona. Fights can be seen on Big Fox, and this will be a headline bout that will go or is scheduled for 5 rounds. Now, the unique twist to all this is with the news of the shakeup yesterday, I wanted to not only ask Dustin how his camp was, how his focus is for Justin Gaethje, but I want to ask him if at any point he felt like maybe he should have been in the running to replace Tony Ferguson, who just pulled out of that fight due to injury against Khabib Nurmagomedov. I believe Dustin's got the biggest shine right now out of all of the UFC lightweights out there. The streak, he's in camp, he was training for 5 rounds. It could have been him. He joins us now on MMA Junkie Radio. What's up, Dustin? How you doing?
What's up, guys?
Man, thanks for joining us here on the MMA Junkie Radio Show. I know we're going to preview you and Gaethje. It's set. We're all excited. It's going to be on Big Fox. That means millions are going to see it. But, Dustin, I wanted to know, yesterday when you heard the news of Tony backing out, at any point did you hear that you might be a player to step in to fight Khabib for that undisputed title?
You know, I I heard everybody talking about it, and then my coach, Mike Brown, texted me. He was on his way to New York to corner Joanna. And I called my management and asked them what's going on and stuff like that. And I guess they spoke to the UFC. And but, you know, honestly, like, my focus is Justin Gaethje here next weekend. You know, I got my hands full there. But an opportunity pops up like this, of course I want to throw my name in there, and I feel like I've been busting my ass, and let's see what happens. But, you know, what I was told is basically they would be fixing one problem and creating two more by pulling me off the card and moving somebody else to fight Gaethje, and then the person who would fight Gaethje, they'd have to find a replacement for him. It was just a mess. And hey,
right.
I'm cool with that, because I'll earn it. I don't want to slide in on somebody's injury. I want to earn it the hard way, the way I did everything my whole life. So I'm gonna just win this fight and see what's next.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I think when the fight was first signed like 2 months ago, and we had you on the show, I think I may have mentioned if this happened, would you be interested? Just because the timeline, you know, you'd be a week away. You're usually on point when it comes to preparation, the weight scale and everything. And you did sound excited back then. But you're right. We also covered the same points that in you stepping in, it might create a problem down in Glendale, Arizona, which, granted, it buys them an extra week to fix. But still, because in the lightweight division, as exciting as things are between you and Gaethje, Felder and Iaquinta, Chiesa and Pettis, Khabib and what was Tony at one point, you know, even Lee and Barbosa, As we were going through all the names, the only two that made sense were names coming off a win. In my book, Lee just had an interim title shot. Barbosa just lost to Nurmagomedov. Gaethje just lost to Alvarez. You see what I'm saying? And in that process, I felt like the one that made sense, if they were going to do it, was either you, because of your win streak, because you were in shape for five rounds, because you're a name that can sell. And the other one was Alvarez, because he came off a win over Gaethje, and it wouldn't disrupt you and Gaethje in 2 weeks down in Arizona, and the UFC could have someone fill in. But I liked your answer, man. You're not as worried about it as everyone else seems to be. You'll just wait your time, and you'll focus on Gaethje in 2 weeks.
Right. I mean, for the last 8 weeks, I've been preparing for this fight, and you know, that's what I expected to happen. I expected to fight Justin Gaethje, and that's what's going to happen. So it's not really a big change-up for me, obviously. It was just an opportunity that flashed itself. And, of course, I threw my name in the hat. But I'm still fighting Justin Gaethje main event on Fox, so I'm happy, man.
Had they offered it to you, though, you would have accepted?
100%.
Okay. There you go. Dustin Poirier, guest here on MMA Junkie
right
Radio.
Now.
Also, Dustin, I'm going to hand it off to the co-host here, but I wanted to pass something on that I thought was pretty cool. It might mean something to you, it might not. The other day, Bobby Green was our guest co-host for the day, and I asked him, or maybe Goz did, or maybe Dan did, I don't know. One of us asked him, hey, who has hit you the hardest in a fight? He thought about it long and hard.
You did.
I asked him?
Yeah.
Okay. He thought about it long and hard, and he goes, man, Dustin Poirier, he gave you props, he just said that guy can crack. So I think that's pretty cool to hear from one peer to the next.
For sure, and he's not lying. But I like Bobby, man. He was a cool guy after the fight, very respectful. And, you know, he's been fighting a long time. I have a lot of respect for that guy.
Yep. All right, Goz, what do you have for Dustin Poirier?
Dustin, you're becoming one of these guys that when you're announced that you're going to be on a fight card, people don't even really care who you're fighting, because we know it doesn't matter. It's going to be a good fight. You know, we just show up. That being said, like, when everything's all said and done, what do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be a world champion. You know, being in exciting fights and making money here and there and being a household name or people get excited to watch when I'm fighting is not my goal. My goal is to be a world champion, and these are just byproducts of that. You know, me chasing my dreams and putting on fights and fighting to the end every time I go out there. You know, that's just the bonuses and the people getting excited about my fight steps. Like I said, that's byproduct of me chasing my goal of becoming a world champion. I want to be known as a world champion.
So when you do get that belt, does it matter who you take it from? Is there a particular guy out there that you would want to take that belt from?
It doesn't matter at all to me. You know, just me getting my hands around it is what matters. Me bringing it home to my family.
Dan, you know, Tom?
You know, Dustin, speaking of being a world champion, can you tell me the importance of being at a place like American Top Team? More specifically, everybody talks about the coaches and all the talent there. Obviously, that's true. But something that I don't know if they get enough credit for is the strength and conditioning and the actual facilities that they have there for you guys to go on these journeys. For example, on your Instagram, you're doing a light drill that it might look kind of weird to people, but I've actually had to go through some concussion protocol, and we and they put me through these similar drills where they're essentially, for people not aware, it's like a Simon Says, a light will pop up and you have to react. And my first thought, being a martial artist, was, man, this would be cool, you know, as far as like training the eyes. And now, years later, we're seeing that integrated. American Top Team is, you know, it looks to offer a lot of those things. Can you talk about the technology and stuff that the gym offers as far as that goes?
For sure. I mean, the amenities at the gym are incredible. But like you said, the strength and conditioning program, Phil Darue is running that part of it. There's actually a couple strength and conditioning coaches, but the guy I work with is Phil Darue, and he's running a great program. And he actually brought in the mental coach. It's Mind Body One. He created his own program, and he works with all kind of athletes and stuff. But man, it's more challenging than it looks, you know, for sure. Just decision making while your body's trying to balance, or we'll do stuff where I get my heart rate up, you know, to close to max, and then have to make decision making or follow lights from my eyes and stuff like that. It's just it helps you, man. It helps your peripheral vision. It helps your reaction time, and it's important when, you know, a split second you could be looking up at the lights. So every fraction of a second matters.
I 100%. I always thought that was cool, and so it was always great to see, you know, fighters like yourself kind of dotting your I's and crossing your T's. But now, more on the training side of it, I got your Instagram page right up here, and, you know, I see you training with Mike Brown. But one thing I've always wanted to ask you, Dustin, you always represent, you know, Thug Jitsu, and I always appreciate that. I'm a big Eves Edwards fan myself. But can you speak on that? You just said you have respect for Bobby Green because he's a fighter that's been around. Obviously, Eve Edwards has been around. You know, in my opinion, he's one of the best southpaws in the game. Can you explain, where does your relationship with Eves come from, and why is that so strong?
I met Eve's my jiu-jitsu coach, Tim Crater. Tim and Eve used to live together in Houston, Texas, long, long, long time ago. I think when Eve was still fighting in Pride, or maybe even before that. And I met Eve years and years ago through Tim. And Eve was living in Austin, Texas at the time. I was in Louisiana, and I was a young fighter. It was a six-hour drive, so I would take drives up to Austin and stay for a week, stay for 2 weeks, train with Eve, work on my kickboxing. And Eve was a... You know, back then, Eve always had wrestlers in. He would fly, like, collegiate wrestlers out to Texas and put them up and just work on his wrestling. And, you know, he kind of opened my eyes to cross-training and doing different stuff. Back then, I was doing a lot of kickboxing and jiu-jitsu. That was pretty much it. Eve is a pioneer of the sport. I know that word gets thrown around a lot, but Eve really is that. He was fighting in, you know, gyms, bare knuckle, way before this stuff was cool.
And, Dustin, one last thing here before we let you go. A few weeks ago, I came across an article where you had pretty much torn up the last contract. You guys were able to negotiate a new one. What stood out to me was, with three fights remaining, man, that's legit. And I think that's a testament to how much you've delivered as a fighter, that the promotion's willing to do that. Because a lot of times, they'll wait till that last fight, but they thought enough of you that they said, hey, we got to keep this kid happy. How did that feel, you know, to go through that whole process and for them to, in your words, come close to pretty much everything you were asking for?
You know, it was great. Great for me and my family. It's a good feeling. You know, I asked and for a new contract, and we came to some agreements and got some championship language thrown in there for when I come up to this belt. And I'm happy and I'm excited about the future, man.
The only thing we know about championship language is when you're a champion, you get points. Is there something aside from those points that you were able to negotiate in this contract when you talk about championship language, or is it pretty much that?
It's that, and it's you get a certain amount when you challenge for the belt. You know, I won't go into the title fight making what I'm making, you know, on my normal contract pay. And then, a lot of stuff goes into it, man.
Was that well received from their end, or did that take some negotiating? And how much of it was you? How much of it was your manager? Or was it a dual effort between the two of you?
Yeah, it was me and my manager. We kind of knew what we wanted to shoot for, and that's just kind of how it worked, man. My manager, mm-hmm. I've been with him since I was 18 or 19 years old, and he handles a lot of business for me. And we knew the direction we wanted, and we knew we wanted a new contract, and everything worked out. We got it, and here we are, main event on Fox next weekend. And I'm ready to put that ass beating down, bro.
As you always are. Last question. So as nosy as I can be, and I'm being right now, what about when you go back to a big gym like American Top Team and a story like that does get put out? on MMA Junkie, and I'm sure other sites also, you know, picked up on it. Are your teammates asking you, hey, man, championship night, what'd you do? What, you know, because they're going to maybe follow your footsteps, a few of them, or maybe a few of them are caught in contracts they're not happy with. Have they approached you about it as well?
Nah, not really. Not at all, actually. Everybody's on their own route. Everybody's, you know, on their own path. And at a big gym like American Top Team, it's nothing new. You know, there's probably guys getting new contracts and big fights every day. There's so much going on. I can understand maybe more at like a smaller gym. Maybe when I go back home to Louisiana and start training, somebody might ask me about it. But here, it's nothing new. You know, these are the best guys in the world. Title challengers, you know, former champions, current champions. So,
tell you what, Dustin, in 2018, there's not too many fights, to, if any, that can beat out as far as us and what we're looking forward to. You and Gaethje is going to be a barn burner. I cannot wait for it. It was great to catch up with you when the announcement was made, and now as your camp's winding down, it's great to catch up with you again. So thank you for the time. I hope everything went well in your preparation and as you taper off here. And I just cannot wait to see you and Justin go throw down on April 14th.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me on. It's going to be a hell of a fight, man. And, yeah, tune in and get your popcorn ready.
Can't wait to see it. Take care, DP.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll see it. All right, folks, there's Dustin Poirier. He cleared a lot of things up. He would have accepted if they called, but at the same time, doesn't appear like any feelings were hurt. His focus is Gaethje. He'll get there when he gets there, when the timing's right. He's got a new contract, and he's raring to go.
I feel like eventually that dude's going to have gold around his waist.
Yeah.
And maybe if it doesn't come right now, I think it will come in the future.
And how about that journey for him? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite an amazing journey for Dustin Poirier. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people can have the easy route, but that long route, the long winding route can sometimes be
the long and winding road.
Look, early success is fun, but what do you do with it? You know? What do you do when you get about 8 fights into your career? I think Kane did that, Brock. A few guys did it. You know, can you sustain it? Can you keep up with the pressures of it? How about Bisping's road? Bisping took a long, winding road, and then he got there, and you saw what that meant to him, you know?
By Verdum.
It was at the end of his career. Verdum. Poirier has got the long, winding road, but the problem is – that's not a problem. I shouldn't have said that. The point here is he's young.
Yeah.
He's 29 years old. Bisping and Verdum were both late 38 or into the 30 guys. I think both may have actually won it around the age of 38. That number stands out. Dustin has had the long, winding road, but he's still only 29 years old.
I've always appreciated that, too, especially with younger guys, because we talk about mileage, and we see it. Like, it just takes one fight, one performance to change a guy's career trajectory, right? The sport's so delicate. So when you get guys like that and they're able to have their best years later on, it's always impressive. You know, Jorge Masvidal is another guy that comes to mind, because you think – you know, a lot of his fights were on the street and then in that bracket kind of coming up before he even got to MMA. And then you have all those, you know, shark fights to Bellator, early days,
with
you know,
Paul
coming
Daly.
Up. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have all those kind of coming up. And then you're seeing like, oh, then he goes to the, you know, Strike Force, right, gets close to the title. And then, okay, then he goes back and forth with, you know, winning, losing fights that he probably should have won, the close decisions in the UFC at lightweight. Then he has this renaissance at welterweight. Now all of a sudden, you know, over 10 years passed into his career, he's now kind of entering that stage where it's like, oh, yeah, Jorge Masvidal or Dustin Poirier. It wasn't until these last 2 years where he kind of entered that, you know, like I always say that the middleweight division of boxing in the early 1980s, like he's one of those guys now. You know, when you see a Poirier, a Gaethje, an Alvarez, they're like, you know, the Durans and Leonards. Yeah, like the Durans and Leonards kind of guys. Yeah, Alvarez again, yeah.
I think it's got to feel just as special and meaningful or maybe even more when you kind of have that long road.
Yeah. Dos Anjos?
I love seeing their reaction and just seeing them collapse.
Yeah.
You know, because think at that moment in time, as they're reading your name, UFC President Dana White's putting the belt around you, I think your whole career just flashes in front of you. You know, a couple wins, a couple losses, a lot of wins, a loss, you know, whatever. Maybe even collegiate careers, maybe medals you came up short on, or maybe even words. Somebody doubting you. Why are you in that sport? You're never going to amount to nothing. You know what I mean? All that just has to basically blaze in front of you. And at that moment, nothing else matters other than you just kissing the canvas or crying or wishing fill in the blank was here, you know, to share it with those people. That's what I like watching. I can't wait to see
this kid, if he ever wears gold, yeah, just to see his reaction and be happy for him, you know, shake his hand afterwards and say congratulations.
It felt like you just explained Rafael Dos Anjos versus Eddie Alvarez, because that was a fight that I was looking for an excuse for putting on, you know, top fights at the shape lightweight division as far as that goes. But, like, that one was just a selfish one where it described exactly what you were talking about. Eddie Alvarez, a guy who got the most lightweight titles than any other lightweight in UFC history. But then he got the UFC, you know, lightweight championship, you know. He had all these champions or beat champions of other divisions. Eddie Alvarez did. And then what made it more special was John Anik was on the call. And if you remember, John Anik was with Eddie Alvarez in the beginning of his Bellator career. So you could tell that there was a certain part of John Anik's call that was coming on that, you know, selfishly and rightfully so selfishly for him, that a little bit of that was for him too, not just Alvarez, you know, when he was saying it. And he's, because Buffer is the guy that
announces
it.
It was on Fight Pass, that one, huh?
It was, but it's funny. Buffer is the one announcing it, but you don't hear Buffer because Anik almost does his own Buffer impression, like, a lightweight title realized, Eddie Alvarez, and his own personal is bleeding into it. And then when Buffer is giving his announcement, the camera is just on Eddie Alvarez, and Eddie Alvarez, like a kid who's practiced, jumping on his bed a million times before, is going to the camera going, Eddie Alvarez, just saying, new lightweight champion.
You're like, making along me want to watch this fight again.
It was great. It was just one of the
go
best.
Go to the Fight Pass and check it out.
One of the best, you know, top five moments of any division, any guy winning a belt. Eddie Alvarez winning that you can't take that away from him. That was great.
Let's take this call from Oreo in Alberta, Canada. What's up, Oreo? How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
Good, man. How are you?
Hey. You guys still talking about Khabib and Holloway, or is that topic done now?
Whatever you want, baby.
I just had a question about, like, logistically. As far as I can tell, whoever wins between Holloway and Khabib, they have, I think, four choices for venues. Obviously, the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas, and they probably have Aloha Stadium, right, if Holloway wins. Mm-hmm. Or they have Croke Park if they want to. Like, they can do stadium shows. Now, I was always wondering how come the UFC, because I remember back in the days, the joke was when you go to Texas, Dallas, Texas Stadium, right? Mm-hmm. And there are really no superstars to take us there, but now I feel like any outcome in this scenario, you know, you can have Max Holloway, two-time champ, Kev Khabib, you know, the best lightweight of all time probably because he's undefeated. You know, either one of those guys are a good option to go for a stadium. So I'm just wondering, would the UFC, you know, choose one of those stadium options depending on who wins? Or would they just take that fight to Vegas and T-Mobile Arena?
I don't know if Max Holloway is Cowboy Stadium material.
No, Aloha Stadium, because, like, I'm talking...
Oh, Aloha Stadium for sure. And Conor for sure is Croke Park. But, you know, he's had so many big fights, and if it hasn't happened, why hasn't it happened? I think it's because it's expensive. They've always said it's expensive to get that whole production crew down there for a stadium show and get it all rigged up. So it sounds to me like they're willing to do it stateside, but maybe not internationally. Anyway, at some point, the UFC is going to be a Cowboy Stadium. But it's got to be in the next 2 years because we're going to have a stadium here pretty soon.
Yeah.
So,
but it doesn't
point,
hold anywhere near what Cowboy Stadium is going to hold.
Right. But people in Cowboy Stadium goes, your gate, they're only concerned about the gate. That number, whatever the number is, I'm sure it's great to say, you know, Wembley Stadium, 90,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you say 90,000, we hold the record for combat sports, that's great. And if you ask the promoter, so what'd you make that night? And he goes, I'm throwing out numbers. He goes, 30 million at the gate. The Vegas, they could make way more at the gate. Because just Floyd and Manny made 76 million for their gate. Why? Because the stars will come out from LA, the stars that are already in Vegas. They'll go, they'll pay. So I think the UFC would be more happy to go, well, we only got 66,000 or whatever this stadium's going to hold, but our gate was 100 million. You see, that's the mm-hmm. number they concern themselves with the most. So, again, if they go there and they do it, awesome. But I don't know that people will go out there and pay like what they would do in Vegas because of suites, because of just this is the allure of this town, man. People love to spend money.
You know the mock-ups of the new stadium here in Vegas? Do you know they did now like the video of what it will actually look like inside and all that and the clubs?
Where you saw it?
Yeah, pretty dope.
Where'd you find that? Can you send me a link?
Maybe look for it.
So, yeah, Oreo, that's, you know, you're getting a little ahead of yourself. I do see a stadium show in the future.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're getting near going to Hawaii. And the question is, will it be an arena or will it be a stadium show?
Right.
The weather, I think, is their biggest obstacle. I mean, they've done Toronto, Melbourne, and Curitiba.
Yeah.
So they can do a stadium show. And in all of them, it was international. Why the fuck is Croke Park a problem now that I think about it?
I can't remember why that one was, but
right?
Oriole interjected a couple options that we really haven't talked about.
Can't
in a while.
Be the time zones. Like I just touched on Melbourne, and I just touched on Curitiba. Those are different. So I don't know. I guess Connor was just too much money in Las Vegas. It had to happen in Las Vegas. And Connor is all about the dollar bill, and so is the UFC. Mm-hmm. So who knows, man?
There was a reason for the Croke Park one that's escaped me. I'm sure someone's going to hit us with it.
Dana used to say the production costs a lot of money.
Okay.
Tua used to be the time zone. But
that's it.
I remember I think it was a pay-per-view.
So you'd have to be a pay-per-view
in the
now.
UK and once in Sweden, if I'm not mistaken. And they were both.
That's right.
The fighters were walking in at 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's true. I will say, though, I'm glad that Oreo reintroduced the Dallas Stadium because we haven't talked about that in a while. And I just got an amazing picturing if hypothetically a Conor McGregor versus Max Holloway fight happened in Dallas, what that check-in would look like and all the local bars would look like with all the accents of a bunch of Hawaiian pigeon accents and a bunch of Irish people invading Texas. Like, you imagine that? A bunch of four-leaf clovers and a bunch of Hawaiian, you know, print T-shirts coming in and just speaking all kind of, you know, massacring versions of English. It'd be great.
Yeah. All right, Oreo. Thanks for the call, man. Good to hear from you. We're going to take a break. We got to do our last break. I want to pose a question to you guys. I know Dan's going to have to... He's going to have an opinion on this.
Uh-oh.
If Max Holloway wins on Saturday night, does he become the greatest Hawaiian fighter ever? Does he overtake BJ Penn? Stu on that goes. Dan, Tom, Danny Yokers, if you want to chime in. Yokers. And we will address it when we come back. It's MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM Rush 93.
They can drink Mentos-flavored Diet Coke without their stomachs giving a single fuck. They are Gorgeous George and Goes. And this is MMA Junkie Radio.
Start your day with SiriusXM. Enable the SiriusXM skill on your Amazon device and then tell Alexa to set an alarm for your favorite channel. You'll wake up to the sounds of SiriusXM. With SiriusXM and Alexa, you can get the latest sports news each morning without picking up your phone or turning on the damn TV. All right, we are close to the finish line here. Barring any unforeseen circumstances like a big-name guest, we'll just bounce out of here politely at the appropriate time. But I did ask the guys a question before we went to the break. If Max Holloway defeats Khabib Nurmagomedov at UFC 223, so they both make weight, it is for the undisputed title, Conor gets stripped, and Max wears gold. Now he has the two belts. Simultaneously, will he eclipse BJ Penn in the title of greatest Hawaiian combat sports athlete ever or MMA fighter ever? We'll work up to Dan's answer because that's the one that's going to probably matter the most. What do you think, Goz?
It's so tough because when you compare him, I look at like what's BJ Penn's signature moment, I think, and it's defeating Matt Hughes, right? He's going to go down as one of the greatest champs of all time. And he had his number, and then you kind of do Max Holloway's side of it. And taking down Jose Aldo is pretty big, too. But a lot of people said Jose's kind of not the same since Connor. Holloway would have two belts. It's really, really tough, man. I'm going to say no, only because all of Max Holloway's success has come in the UFC. And BJ Penn has been able to sprinkle in different organizations, different scenarios, weight classes. But I'm going to say it's right there, and maybe even one more title defense would be what puts Max over.
Okay.
But for now, I got BJ.
I will say that he did fight in other weight classes. A lot of people point to Lyoto's fight. Wasn't that a draw, though?
It was a decision. Loss. Decision loss. It was a close fight. Close fight, though.
Okay, it was a loss. Yeah. Sorry, I thought it was a draw. So he did go up, but he lost.
Mm-hmm.
Henzo Gracie was one where he said he was fighting middleweights, but Henzo was really – probably a welterweight. You know, he was just fighting at a higher weight class. And but still, take nothing away from the fact that he went up there and upset Hughes. It all happened so fast that it almost felt like Hughes just underestimated him. Of course, BJ proved that wasn't the case by winning a trilogy. Although Matt Hughes took it to BJ Penn one time pretty hard in Anaheim, and that third fight was a little bit later in their careers. But Max Holloway has a lot. He's just had these nice runs, man. And to win two belts, I mean, and to take out the undefeated Khabib Nurmagomedov, that would be something else. If my opinion is that had BJ at least gone 1-1 with GSP, it would mean more than winning the trilogy against Matt Hughes just because of what GSP became.
Yeah.
So even though that it would mean one less win, so my answer is yes. I think he gets him. How about you, Dan?
I think he will. I think he's primed to, but I'm a big narrative guy, and if we're doing narrative, Max Holloway's book's only in the beginning. It's not toward the end yet. And if we were to stop and pull up all his stats and compare him side by side now, I'd still, even if he did win, I would still give it to BJ Penn, even though he came up short in the second time against George St. Pierre. First one, real close fight, by the way. Someone spent the night in the hospital, other one spent the night at the bar. But still, nevertheless, accomplishments stand a lot. We talk about this show all the time. Championships belts mean a lot. Still, I think BJ Penn has done more from the multi-weight fights to, you know, the belts, you know, and all that. I think he's done way more. But what I like about this, guys, is that he is, and I know, you know, Max wants to be his own guy. He doesn't want the comparisons of Penn. But this is awesome, guys, because correct me if I'm wrong, but pound for pounds lost a lot of meaning back in the day. And in fact, when we talk about pound for pounds, I think the most popular era was George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, right? And BJ Penn. In fact, BJ Penn was one of the few guys who, you know, when you saw it on his merchandise, whether it was shirts, whether it was fan-made, DIY, he was producing himself, it had pound for pound fighter, pound for pound best, pound for pound something. On his website, pound for pound this. It was thrown around so much at the time when he beat Hughes. He was the pound-for-pound best fight, you know, because he beat Matt Hughes. That's because it meant something. Pound-for-pound, it's subjective and it's stupid, so if we first admit that, we can continue on with the conversation. But admitting that, pound-for-pound actually comes from the automobile. Do you have enough torque? Do you have horsepower? Are you quick off the line? Are you durable in an accident? Can you do these things, no matter the track? No matter the cards you're competing against, it doesn't matter. What can your car do? And the only way to really challenge that in combat sports is to go out there and take these crazy risks. So as crazy as Max Holloway says, you know, for doing this and the reason why, he's actually right. It's true. That is what pound for pound means. And we really haven't seen anybody really excuse it. Like you said, George, we were seeing McGregor take money fights, but it's a key word, more money than super, right? It was more money fight than super fight. Super fight more with pound for pound, so... I don't see Max Holloway above BJ Penn. Boy, is he making a strong case to get right up there, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because as we were doing, I thought, wow, this would be a hell of a daily debate.
I was just about to like, save this. When you said it, I was like, fuck. But you know what? Right, yeah. We had to do this on the fly, and I'm sure if we went back and thought about it a little bit more, we may have different opinions.
True.
So
true.
May be doing this again tomorrow.
I was thinking, as you said, if he wins and then defends, he really starts chipping away. You know, even if one can say it's true. Still BJ Penn.
There's a lot going on in those careers, and BJ did the ultimate fighter.
BJ did have, I was just reading, he had, you know, the three title defenses. Max only had one. Max has a nicer record than BJ, but BJ's, a lot of his later losses came in the later part of his career when he just seemed to not be the BJ Penn we remember.
Yeah.
So I think Max, even for those that say he hasn't reached there, I think a lot of those people will change their mind as he piles up his defenses if he can get there. But he has to get there first.
Yep.
It all happens on Saturday. He faces Khabib Nurmagomedov at UFC 223. That's your new headliner bout. If you haven't tuned in, that's the big news. Tony Ferguson's out. Max Holloway's in. So we'll touch more on all that when we come back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific, with another edition of MMA Junkie Radio. And that's it for today. I want to thank our guests, Brian Butler and Dustin Poirier. Shout out to myself. I lined those up. Goes and Dan, you guys did a great job. Danny back east, outstanding as always. I, of course, took it to another level. I was fantastic. See you tomorrow, folks. Go out there and be a champion. Fever, Las Vegas, turning day into night.